From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, December 29th, 2025. Maine is getting $190 million in federal funding to strengthen its rural health care network. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services today announced that all 50 states will receive awards under the $50 billion Rural Health Transformation Program. Carol Bousquet has more.
The government says the program is intended to help residents in rural Maine have better access to preventive, primary, maternal, and behavioral health. It comes at a time when hospital services and Medicaid are being cut. States including Maine will use fitness and nutrition programs such as the Food as Medicine Initiative to address the root causes of chronic disease and manage those conditions. Emergency care will include treat-in-place options, and expanded telehealth technology will be used to improve remote patient monitoring. Funding will also support growing the clinical workforce with training, residencies, and recruitment and retention incentives to replace clinicians who are retiring. Republican Senator Susan Collins said in a statement that while the money will not solve every challenge facing our state's rural health care system, it comes, quote, at a time when many rural health care providers are facing significant financial hardship. Maine is expected to lose billions of dollars in Medicaid funds that take effect in 2027. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
The owners of Custom House Wharf in Portland say they plan to rebuild after a massive fire destroyed several businesses and damaged fishing infrastructure Friday night. Co-owner Steve Goodrich says about 20% of the wharf was damaged, including a workshop space where he believes the fire started.
These are rickety, old, dried-out buildings. It's like a tinderbox. You know, in this case, we think it was electrical. Something obviously happened. But I think for the most part, we'll restore the buildings substantially to what they were before, but with more modern and up-to-date safety components.
Goodrich says he and the other owners are meeting with insurance companies, the city, and contractors to begin the planning process, and that the displaced tenants will be included in the discussions. The fire marshal's office says it's unlikely an exact cause of the fire will be identified. Meantime, plans are underway to help fishermen recover after the massive fire at Custom House Wharf in Portland. As Nora Sachs reports, nearly $20,000 has already been raised.
Ben Martens, the executive director of the Maine Coast Fishermen's Association, says the heat of the blaze and water used to suppress it damaged fishing gear like traps and nets that were stored on the wharf. Boats tied up to the wharf were also damaged, and one boat even sunk. But Martin says, thankfully, most of the gear and vessels impacted are auxiliary, and no lives were lost.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. It's very sad, but also it could have been a lot worse. That's what we keep on hearing over and over again.
In response to a request from Portland fishermen, Martin says his organization has set up a fund to collect donations from community members who want to help fishermen recover. So far, about $18,000 have been raised. And Martin says they'll be working with fishermen to decide how best to distribute the aid after the financial losses have been calculated. The fire marshal's office is investigating the fire and says that due to the extent of the damage, it's unlikely an exact cause will be identified. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nora Sachs.
January 1st marks the end of Affordable Care Act subsidies that helped millions of Americans and tens of thousands of Mainers pay for their health insurance. While Congress adjourned this month without addressing the issue, Maine Senator Angus King says the work continues. Kevin Miller reports.
King has been part of a bipartisan group of senators who've been talking for weeks about trying to strike a deal to extend the ACA premium tax credits and potentially make other changes to the program. King, who is an independent, said in a recent interview that his message to impacted constituents is, quote, don't give up.
I don't want to overpromise. I don't want to say this is a done deal. It isn't by any means. There's some contentious issues. But the idea is to have a bipartisan bill that could be ready for both houses by the time we come back in the first week of January.
King says Congress may have to extend the open enrollment period in January. And he says some Republicans may return to D.C. even more motivated to support a compromise after hearing from their constituents over the holiday break. but any deal would have to have the support of President Trump. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Experts say a targeted pesticide campaign against spruce budworm in northern Maine this year successfully tamped down a looming outbreak of the destructive forest pest. But keeping the native insects at bay could take years and years of effort and federal funding. Peter McGuire reports.
Neil Thompson from the University of Maine, Fort Kent, says this year's aerial spraying kept budworm populations at a healthy level and protected timberland from being overrun and devoured.
The big story here is that the treated areas have almost nothing above the threshold this year. It's not eradicated. That's impossible. That's not a goal.
Landowners banded together last year on an early intervention strategy against budworm to prevent a repeat of an outbreak that devastated millions of acres of forest in the 1970s. This year, they plan to target about 50,000 acres of outbreak hotspots again, some in small holdings excluded from the first round of the program. And supporters are hopeful that Congress will pass a bill that includes $10 million to help fund the effort this year and commit more spending in the future. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The state of Maine is launching a new campaign to raise awareness about accessory dwelling units, or ADUs. ADUs are typically smaller homes built on an existing lot and are often seen as a solution for older people looking to downsize, younger families just starting out, or even as rental properties. Christina Egan is executive director of the Greater Portland Council of Governments, which is spearheading the campaign. She says despite a two-year-old state law that allows at least one ADU on any lot with a single-family home,
ADUs are not the norm. While they've been around for a long time, they haven't been actively promoted by the state or seen as a big part of the housing solution until recently. Our hope is that more accessory dwelling units will be built.
Egan says the costs of construction and financing remain challenges for people who want to build an ADU. As part of the campaign, a new website has information for property owners. The Maine Mariners minor league hockey team could be back on the ice this week after the players' union reached a tentative contract agreement with the league. As Michael Livingston reports, the stalled negotiations resulted in a two-day strike that postponed games over the weekend.
As of Monday afternoon, the deal with ECHL still needs to be ratified by the Professional Hockey Players Association, which last week accused the league of obstructing collective bargaining through unfair labor practices. The strike began Friday, just as games were set to resume after the holiday break. According to a press release from the ECHL, players will report to their teams and prepare to play this week. In a statement, Mariners owner Dexter Payne apologized for the delayed games, but commended what he called a, quote, fair agreement for all parties involved with minimal disruption to the season. Details of the agreement have not been released. The Mariners' next game is Wednesday in Glens Falls, New York, against the Adirondack Thunder. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Michael Livingston.
Caribou native Jessica Meir is headed back to the International Space Station. NASA has named her as a commander of a four-person crew that will ride a SpaceX Dragon spacecraft due to launch February 15th. Meir, fellow American Jack Hathaway and mission specialist from Europe and Russia, will join crew members that launched earlier this month on a long-duration mission. Meir will be making her second trip to the space station. She spent more than half a year during her first tour of duty. During that stay, she participated in the first all-female spacewalks. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, snowmobiling. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.